The Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, has arrived in Canada, where he'll spend 2 days before heading to Washington. The PM holding talks with his Canadian counterpart, Stephen Harper, in a bid to boost trade and investment ties. But the unusual length of the visit to Canada is also testament to the close relationship between the two leaders, who share a similar worldview, particularly a strong opposition to taxing carbon emissions as a means of combating climate change, as the Prime Minister made clear at his press conference in Ottawa a short time ago.
I first met Stephen Harper when he was an opposition leader, not expected to succeed. But of course, against the odds, he won the 2006 election here in Canada. He's gone from strength to strength since then. He has been regarded as something of a beacon to centre-right parties around the world, and certainly I have regarded Stephen Harper as an exemplar of a contemporary centre-right Prime Minister.
That's Tony Abbott speaking a short time ago in Ottawa, where we are joined by Madeleine Drouin, a Canada correspondent for The Economist. Good morning, Michelle. Madeleine, I beg your pardon?
Hello, James.
It's said that if Tony Abbott has his soulmate on the world stage, it is Stephen Harper. They share a common world view, as he was making clear there, a long list of policies, not just climate change. Is that how he's seen in Canada, Tony Abbott?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of the coverage talks about the two of them being twins separated at birth. It's really amazing how many similarities the two of them have.
What do we have? Climate change, economic neoliberalism, Israel. They're the ones that come to my head immediately. There's more, I expect.
Even when he was talking about Stephen Harper coming to power in 2006, both of them came to power in part because the governing party was so divided by infighting between previous leaders. I mean, that's partly why Stephen Harper got in, is that the Liberal Party was divided because of fighting between the Prime Minister and the former Prime Minister. So that's where you can start. But climate change is of course the big one, the most sort of symbolic headline similarity between the two of them, and they're both going to be in President Obama's bad books because of, well, and in your case, what the Prime Minister is doing, getting rid of the carbon price. But in Canada's case, it's that the Prime Minister is refusing to do a carbon price on the biggest emitter here, which is the oil sands in Alberta.
Yes, because both Australia and Canada are big exporters of resources. So what will that mean? Is there room for exporting of resources between Canada or in Australia, or is it more of a philosophical position on the world stage?
I think it's more philosophical, to tell you the truth. Tony Abbott now has a strong ally in Stephen Harper on the climate change file. In terms of resources, we're often competitors with Australia, you know, with minerals and with liquid natural gas and a number of coal as well. So I can't see them actually working together on those files except to resist a climate change price. But you were asking about other similarities, and there's a couple of strange ones. They both seem to be very pro-monarchy. I know that the Prime Minister there has brought in knights, and I guess it is dames, and Mr. Harper here has reintroduced the word royal to the Royal Canadian Air Force and the Royal Canadian Navy, and his foreign minister ordered all the embassies and high commissions to put portraits of the Queen in very prominent positions. So that sort of, and it strikes people in Canada at least as rather strange to have this suddenly monarchist bent on the part of the Prime Minister.
There's no move afoot, is there, to go back to the old Canadian flag?
Not yet, no. And we haven't had a referendum on the monarchy here either, but it's fairly unpopular.
Is republicanism an issue in Canada?
It's not. It's sort of strange because not very many people support the monarchy, but it's basically stayed at the same level for a long time, and it's more that no one really wants to tackle it.
Sure.
Because it would take up a lot of political capital that nobody particularly wants to spend.
Perhaps it's like an uncle. You don't want them coming around, but they're still family.
Exactly.
So will Stephen Harper be happy then to have Tony Abbott as a strong ally when it comes to the G20 agenda? That's going to be in Australia later this year.
I think so, and I think that's, I was thinking about, you know, what are they going to do with all these similarities, because there are other ones too, but, you know, what does that actually accomplish? And I think that because they are so like-minded, that he certainly, your Prime Minister will have a strong ally in Stephen Harper in backing up his agenda. And I was just looking at the press release that the Prime Minister's office had put out on the visit and saying, you know, both men believe in job creation and economic growth. Now, I think, well, who wouldn't be for that? But if those are the two things on the top of the agenda for your Prime Minister, he's definitely going to have Mr. Harper's support on that.
And how's job creation and economic growth going in Canada?
Not very well, actually. The economy's pretty sluggish here. And so we had a strong bounce back after the global financial crisis, but then it sort of petered out and it really hasn't improved much. Canada's so linked with the U.S. economy that until that economy sort of shows a sustained improvement, the Canadian economy probably won't be up to much either.
And what about Australia's trade relationship with Canada? You mentioned mostly we're trade competitors in the resources field. Where are the opportunities for import and export?
Well, one of the big areas where the two see eye to eye on trade, I think, is in these talks about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And there, again, this friendship between the two prime ministers should help, because I think they both really want that to go through. And they largely have similar interests. I'd say the one area where they probably disagree is on agricultural trade protectionism, which Canada's quite got a sort of mixed record on. A lot of the crop exports are fine. There's no barriers in that, but the government operates a system of supply management for dairy products, and I know Australia hasn't liked that much, but who knows what's going on behind the closed doors of the TPP negotiations. Maybe that's about to go.
We had our supply management for wheat as well, though, on this side of the Pacific.
Yeah, but it's gone now, is it not?
It has, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Times ahead will be interesting. Madeleine Drouin, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Madeleine Drouin is the Canada correspondent, most well-informed, as you just heard from The Economist, based in Ottawa, where our Prime Minister is right now as we speak.